It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. Quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here looking ahead. Penn State, Maryland, season finale, senior day at Beaver Stadium. Penn State playing against a Maryland team that's got a little momentum on its side. They come into it, Greg, a 13-point favorite. We're looking ahead to that matchup. This segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com. If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that Penn State fan in your life, you got to check out tailgatewine.com and the blue and white wine gift box. They also have some wine and barbecue packages with sauces and rubs. You can check all of it out at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. Penn State, this is a tricky matchup, Greg. I think, you know, we're trying to wrap our heads around what Penn State is and what Maryland is. And through 11 games, like, I can't really say for certain what I believe either one of these teams is. So to have Penn State as a 13-point favorite, it's an interesting line that I think sounds about right. But what Maryland did against Ohio State when they lost 52-51 last weekend, where they ran the ball all over the Buckeyes, where they went for two instead of a tie late, could have maybe changed their fate if they had played a little bit more traditionally. It's a 5-6 team that's played, I think, in general, more competitive than I expected. They've got a running game that they've always leaned on, but that's taken a step in the right direction now with Anthony McFarland, over 200 yards in two straight games.
What a good player he is. I mean, he obviously took advantage of some big holes that Maryland's offensive line was able to open up and ran through them for a handful of big touchdown, or a couple big touchdown runs and a handful of other explosive plays. I think the good news for Penn State, if they were playing Maryland like maybe mid-October, I think this would be a little bit more of a concern, but I've seen this Penn State run defense. Obviously, Rutgers is able to rip off a few decent runs, but I do think the run defense has improved over the last few weeks. It's probably at the best point that it's been all season. So I think that this is a good time for them to get a Maryland attack led by Matt Canada, who Penn State knows a little bit about, having squared off with him in the past, so when he was at Pitt, of course. So, you know, I do think the line is maybe a little high. Look, if Penn State is going to Penn State is going to miss open receivers, miss tackles, look uninspired, be uninspired, play uninspired, it could be a 3-point game, it could be a 7-point game, it could be a Maryland win. Now, do I think that's going to happen? No. But yet again, Dustin, we've just seen it's been hard to really fall in love with what Penn State's doing offensively, and there's no sign that it's going to, you know, to be turned around anytime soon. The thing I'll say, though, is despite that game being close, Maryland was well outgained by Ohio State, both in yards per play and total yards. So they're there to be gashed if Penn State's able to make some throws. And, you know, the other thing, too, is that if Trace McSorley hits a wheel route to Miles Sanders, a crossing KJ Hamler, and some other things, that Rutgers game isn't close either. But it all goes back to sort of, you know, number one, the ebbs and flows of a game, and how one play can make you look great, one play can make you look not so great. And Penn State's seemingly made more of the not so great plays on offense over the last few weeks.
Let me look at just some common opponents here. I think Maryland has evolved, and with McFarland kind of seizing that job and proving he's a big play threat. I think he's done it. You know, on the road in Indiana, they lose 34-32. That's a game that Penn State won. At home against Michigan State, Maryland lost 24-3 back on November 3rd. That's a game that Penn State played more competitively. 21-17 was the final there. Penn State should have won that football game when you're coming down to it. But to only score 3 points against that Michigan State defense is a really good side-by-side gauge of Maryland versus Penn State. And then obviously against Ohio State, they got Ohio State at home just like Penn State did, 52-51. Weird game where Ohio State I don't know that they do a lot of good communicating on the back end of their defense. I think that they came into, you know, they went into the Penn State game. I remember talking to Doug Lemmerese from Cleveland.com about where their issues were all the way back then. Linebackers and safeties were issues for Ohio State, and they remain issues for Ohio State, even more glaring issues, I think. And so that's why it's hard to really look at that result against Ohio State and what Maryland was able to do and really take that to the bank as Maryland taking a next step or being a bigger threat or whatever, because Ohio State just does not have it together. And Maryland was in a unique position to maybe exploit that. But it'll be interesting to see with Maryland's run game, with how big of a threat that they pose coming off that game, what Penn State is able to do with that, especially when you consider, you know, Kasim Hill down with a torn ACL for the second time in his career. Tyrell Pigram will be under center, but he's a lot more of a run threat than a pass threat. It's a script that Penn State has had to work with several times before, and they've managed to buckle down. Even against Wisconsin, for example, they give up that big play to Jonathan Taylor early. Then they pull it together, and they put a hard cap on those big plays. They're going to have to do it again.
Does Penn State have to play Tommy Stevens more in this game at quarterback if Trace McSorley's not 100%, and it doesn't look like he is? That's a lot of something a lot of people are discussing coming out of the Rutgers game, because he just wasn't himself. And you talk about Maryland's quarterback issues, and they obviously have a guy that can't play because he's out for the season. Actually, might be for the best, not obviously for his health, but for the future of Rutgers, or Maryland rather. I think he'll, you know, they might have something here, but I really struggle with the idea of benching Trace McSorley because of what he's done for this program. And also, there's a part of me that says Penn State, you know, they know a lot more about what Tommy Stevens does in practice than we do or anybody else does. And there's a part of that, too, that I think a lot of people ignore. And they just assume that, again, it's falling in love with the backup and think the backup is always the better option. Maybe it's not. Maybe practice shows that it is not, which is not good news for the future of the Penn State football program. But if Maryland gets a lead, or if Penn State's up 3-0, 6-0, very lethargic on offense, do they make the change on senior day? Is that something James Franklin will do if Trace McSorley is again? I don't know about you. It looked to me like he was throwing pretty much all arm at Rutgers. I mean, it just looked like he could not get much behind him. And I did have a few throws downfield that were long, so that, you know, speaks maybe to the fact that he has a strong arm, but it's clear that something's not right. How do you handle that with senior day? I think it's a big part of how this game plays out.
So I think, to me, there's virtually no shot to have Trace McSorley benched. And that goes back – I mean, that's a career decision as much as anything. I also don't think James Franklin will ever in his head think that somebody else gives him a better chance to win than Trace McSorley. And I think Trace McSorley has earned the right to end his Penn State career without this back and forth about being benched or not. For the first 15 minutes of that game against Rutgers, the number one issue that I saw with the offense was Trace McSorley missing throws and being out of rhythm. And I'm sure the knee factors into that. Mechanically, I don't really know. I mean, his mechanics might have changed. I think you can make the case. But to be below 50% completions is a pretty running theme all year long, and there's all kinds
of
issues that go into that.
Most of his career has been like that in games.
Well, for different reasons. So back in 2016, his completion percentage was down because there were a lot of downfield throws, disproportionate number of downfield throws, which is why skeptics throughout Penn State's success that season. It was impressive last year that his completion percentage rose and all that. But the first 15 minutes, that his inaccuracy was an issue. For minutes 1 through 60, it was all that stuff. There were just for who the opponent was, there's no reason for the windows to be that tight for Trace McSorley, for starters. Yeah, he could have made more throws. Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree with that. But at some point in time, these receivers need to give him a welcoming target, and it just doesn't happen that often.
No.
How much easy pitch and catch is there? The two, you know, touchdowns to Pat Freiermuth, that was pitch and catch. There were some throws that that were easy, but McSorley, it's been a little too hard for him for his own doing and for the offense's continued struggles and the themes that plagued them. I don't think you're going to see McSorley benched. To give you a long walk to a short drink of water, that's my thought.
Yep, fair enough. It does certainly put an interesting light on this game. And you know, the other thing, too, and I just don't have any interest in talking about Maryland. I'm sorry, I don't. I know it was a great game last week. I'm just not got interested. I think another thing, too, Dustin, is when the people talk about this Penn State program and this season and what it could have been, what it is, what maybe could have went this, that, and the other way. Think about how short the senior day ceremony is going to be on Saturday at Beaver Stadium. I mean, that's a big part of this, too. There are a lot of young guys playing huge roles for this Penn State football team. And, you know, you can say all you want that young teams can win like veteran teams, and sometimes they can, but not that this team's void of leadership, but it just seems to – it just doesn't feel like it has what it had in the past with guys like Marcus Allen, with guys like, you know, even Saquon Barkley, Deshaun Hamilton. I mean, there were a lot of, quote, you know, leader types, Jason Kabinda, and this team just doesn't feel like it has it.
I think experience is always an undervalued commodity because you see – I mean, from 1 to 85 – you can definitely make the case this is Penn State's most talented roster. It's just the readiness of some of those guys who are being called upon to play big roles. I think we're going to look back on this season when we get out of the week to week, the thick of it, the narrative season. You know, you get one piece of information at a time and you're trying to draw conclusions. Once this, the dust settles on the season, I think we're going to look back on it and be like, you know what? These issues were not all that surprising. The issues early on, finding the good depth at linebacker and defensive tackle, the issues with rhythm in the passing game, the issues with play calling when you have a young first year offensive coordinator who's doing it on a full-time basis for the mm-hmm. first time. You know, some of the stuff won't be all that surprising. Right. And but it doesn't take away from the fact that Penn State could use some more experience in key areas. They could use more rhythm in the passing game, and they just haven't been able to find it all year. I don't picture that happening against Maryland. Maryland really in a lot of ways, you know, they run the football really well. That fuels a scoring offense that averages north of 30 points a game. They're middle of the road in most defensive categories. They don't pass the ball very efficiently or very often, so it kind of plays into Penn State's strengths a little bit. Turnover margin, top 15 in the country. You know, red zone offense, they convert the third best ratio in the country. So there are some things in a really traditional football sense that Maryland does pretty well. Field position has actually, you know, on kickoffs has been a good thing. But it's a average team that Penn State is playing. And if Penn State wants to be better than average, you beat this team, you dispatch them pretty easily. The 13-point spread, I'm not picking Penn State to cover it. I'll say that.
I'm not.
But
either.
I have not had the best score prediction yeah, on any given week at all this year. None of us have
really been banner predictors.
I've been close to winning
season.
A couple times. Yes, I have, Jim. Stop it.
Yeah.
Close to winning. I have been a couple times. Somebody else has had a better pick that week.
That's right. That's how it typically works. Yeah. It's just like the people that were close to $1 million on.
But in terms of seeing how games play out, I've been okay from time to time. I've got a 30-20 Penn State.
30-20 Penn State. It puts a lot of faith in Penn State's offense to score 30 points. I don't see it. 24-14, Penn State beats Maryland. They do not cover. They do get a win. New Year's Six Bowl bound, probably the Peach Bowl, and they'll still be griping about it, even though it's a 10-point victory at home that closed out a 9-3 season.
The funny thing is going to be if Penn State makes a lot of progress in the 3-4 weeks of prep time going into the bowl game. They're going to need to if they're going to play against a SEC-type team. So there you go, Penn State, Maryland. Audrey Snyder from The Athletic will join us in just a moment to talk about that matchup. Talk about Rutgers as well.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you. So that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports. In partnership with GoPSU RV, we are introducing the Keystone Sports Network RV. All the benefits of the GoPSU RV lot, along with great gift items like catered meal from 409 Barbecue, barbecue gift box, wine gift box, and of course Labatt beer. Hear all about the KSN RV? Email me at info@ksnsports.net, or you could also reach out with the Contact Us button on your KSN app.